So I was busy working on my sermon Friday evening when we heard the news about the terrorist attacks in Paris. And oh no, I thought, as many of you might have, not again. W.H. Auden's funeral blues came to mind. Stop all the clocks, cut off the telephone, prevent the dog from barking with a juicy bone, silence the pianos, end with muffled drum, bring out the coffin, let the mourners come. As we watched the news unfold and learned more about what people suffered in the various venues that were targeted, his words felt true. The stars are not wanted now, put out everyone. Pack up the moon and dismantle the sun. Pour away the ocean and sweep up the wood, for nothing now can ever come to any good. Tragedy has struck again, and we know, sadly, that this will not be the last time we will suffer the loss of numbers of people. It can come in all kinds of ways, of course. Massive accidents, or natural disasters, other acts of God. But when tragedy is foisted on us by our own kind, that is, by other human beings, it feels especially wrong, especially broken, even as we have experienced it before. It is so hard to reconcile the event because we know it didn't have to be. Mother Nature is one thing. Human nature did this. Lest we separate ourselves out too quickly, we must remind ourselves that those who strap belts to their bodies and carry guns into public arenas and destroy soft targets were once newborns with potential stretched before them, just as we were. Their destiny was not preordained any more than each of ours. Whatever disconnect was driving their martyrdom, and don't get me wrong, it is a huge disconnect, we believe. They are not something other than we, except that they have chosen a path that feels hopeless to us and so very terribly wrong. And it doesn't really help us to truly understand these nightmares of tragedy by making demons of the perpetrators, but then how else to think about it? We know that 2 weeks ago, just here, Reverend Ford, who delivered our second annual Theodore Parker lecture, encouraged us to understand this other as having the demon in them, as opposed to being the demon. And yet the quandary persists. What demon, whether of or in, demands these kinds of actions? In the moment, in the time of tragedy, now, it doesn't feel, we don't feel inclined to discern that difference. I had not intended this sermon. I was happily working with text from the commencement speech that Ellen Goodman gave at my college graduation about the fallacy of the supermom. You would have been rolling in the aisles, at least for a part of it. She was a witty columnist. But then my mother-in-law called to alert us to the news, and those intentions, my intentions, along with Ellen Goodman, went out the window. Well, maybe it was just Ellen who went out the window, because I still want to consider what we do with intentions, our abundance of intentions. If anything, in many ways, it feels even more relevant. I learned in my looking around and researching last week that intentions are aims that guide our actions. They represent, according to my study, a commitment to carrying out an action in the future. They involve planning and forethought. I learned that from a clinical perspective, there is something called an intentional chain. Desire causes intention. which causes action, which causes outcome. Desire causes intention, thank you, which causes action, which causes outcome. So on Friday evening, I had to wonder what desire motivated the seven people who wreaked such havoc in Paris. What desire motivated the intention that caused them to arm themselves and kill more than 120 people? For those of us looking at this from a distance, it is such an enigma. Was it the same desire that motivated the two suicide bombings in Beirut earlier last week? Or the same desire that motivated the possible action to put a bomb on the Russian plane that blew up last month? Desire is hard to pinpoint or to know with certainty, of course, because we can't be in another's minds. And maybe even then we would not recognize the multiple desires. We might imagine a desire to undermine the modern world, or perhaps a desire to claim meaning in a life committed to an otherworldly experience. It's likely we can't peel back enough of those layers with any accuracy. Perhaps the best we can do is infer from the actions that the intention was to disrupt life as usual. We can infer that the intention is to create fear, to create instability, to change our comfort level with our generally regarded way of being, in Paris or anywhere, really. And then we wonder if the psychologist's intentional chain is accurate, so that desire causes intention, intention causes action, which causes outcome. Is the outcome necessarily assured by the action? Who controls that? Does the intention to create fear and instability and discomfort have to result in that? I had a conversation with someone recently about a personal conflict they were involved with, and they assured me that in the end, whatever the result, there would be anger and resentment and discontent for one party or the other. Really? I asked. Does it have to be that way? Is our agency lost to someone else's intention? I don't think so. I don't think it has to be that way. There are so many emotions that swirl around terrorist events, like the one from this weekend. Overwhelming sadness, for one. Mourning for the lives lost and disrupted and the lives ruptured. For the new reality that we are forced to accept. Anger, confusion, fear, worry, insecurity. They are all at our disposal. But we get intention too. An abundance of intentions are available to us. For one thing, we get to be the rose that gives the world all of our beauty, if that is what we intend. There is light that we are encouraged by when we are open to receiving it, even in the midst of darkness. Remember the story that Melissa shared with us this morning about the three wishes? We played with it a bit, you might have guessed. The word intention and intending and intended showed up a fair amount in today's version. That was not by accident. And we also added that last line. We don't really know what happened. That's not a typical ending for a fable. You might recall that the family asked for wealth, and then soon discovered that the consequence, the outcome, was not what they had expected. They experienced as an outcome fear of thieves, of beggars, and taxes by the king. More wealth, higher taxes. Perhaps not an American fable. They were always worried, and so they wished to be an ordinary family again. And then they also asked, since apparently this doesn't come with ordinary, for wisdom and peace of mind and a life free of worries. We don't know what happened. Even when we get what we wish for, the outcomes, when we get them, are not always what we imagined. So it's up to us to be paying attention, which is never as simple as it sounds. What is your name? Do you know where you are? What day is it today? We are living in a world more complicated than ever. The same technology that allows us to be connected in times of crisis is the one that allows those who might hurt us to be connected to each other as well. We are this distant from each other, and yet we are light years apart, it seems, in terms of our intentions. What we know in our hearts is this: hope must prevail and love must abide, or else we are stuck in Auden's abyss. When we shut down, when we imagine that nothing now can ever come to any good, we are doomed to that reality. The stars are not wanted now, put out everyone, pack up the moon and dismantle the sun. The imagery of that powerful poetry, so poignant. And yet there we would be without the light that encourages the rose in all its beauty. Then we would be lost in darkness. I noticed a challenge on Twitter yesterday. I don't know how many of you tweet. It's a new skill of mine. Hashtag make peace in 5 words. Here is some of what I read. Humanity before wealth and power. Love is stronger than hate. Violence is never the answer. No more senseless killing, please. Learn compassion with no prejudice. Love, 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 love. Milk and cookies for everyone. Let it begin with me. More important than ever now. Don't let pride take over. Here if you need me. There were some that were not so pleasant, of course. Some that were full of anger and retribution and hurt, as you can imagine. But these were some of the ones that showed an intention to heal, an intention to spin toward north, as Karen Herring suggested. There are so many possibilities. As we wander into the holiday season, in this corner of the world at least, each carrying the varieties of recent and not so recent life experiences with us, we know we will be challenged with a plethora of emotions: gratitude, joy, anticipation, loneliness, annoyance, celebration, ambivalence. It is a time rife with opportunity to choose our intentions, knowing that the inevitable actions, even the passive ones, speak louder than words. When we imagine the outcomes, what is it we want to see? As we all navigate this universe of stars, some shining and some darkened today, we must each discern how we want to participate in a world that is struggling to find its new way. I mentioned earlier, and I posted on our board in the front of the church, that hope must prevail and love must abide. But the truth is that it is up to each of us. There are so many opportunities, both here at home and in the world at large, to be engaged in the active hope that we talked about weeks back. Places to bring your engaged love actively into the world around you. This is not wah, 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 I'm talking about here. If we want outcome, if we want safety and peace and justice, we must each do our part. But first we have to stop and think about it. Of all the intentions you have at your disposal, the abundance of intentions available to each of us, what will you choose? I hope it is this. Love, 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 love. Since you are here today, I'm assuming you know that in the world of our desires, it is what we are here on earth to do. So may it be. And amen.